Aren't you gonna do like a thing?
I know, but I was seeing what it's like to like go into anything specific.
What's up? I think if you start it, then I'll add my 2 cents, and then you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Get it all out.
Hello, and welcome, everybody, to the Talking Trebles Podcast. I am your host, Levi Dillon, First Law Flood, and I am joined by...
me! Oh, Caitlin!
Yes, this is my wife, Caitlin. Hi. Long time coming, having her on the podcast. Actually, we've been wanting to do the Sounds of Silence episode of the TV show, but I never got around to it, so it's okay. We'll circle back. We'll get back to it. But today, I mean, it feels like we should talk about something important. We're currently driving. This is the first driving podcast I've ever done. I think Caitlin's ever done.
I mean, yeah, it's probably the first podcast I've ever done, like, ever.
So it's a whole thing.
No, yeah, no. The first one I've ever done ever in a car driving very quickly.
How fast are we going?
76.
Nice. The road is 75. So.
Kayla doesn't speed, not in a rental car.
First time. Anyway, so we just went to Trebles Fest!
And that's where we're driving back from. We're in Colorado, Nebraska.
We're still in Colorado.
I don't know.
We're about to Kansas.
Yuck!
So if you hear semi noises, you know I'll try to edit them out and integrate them. But you'll hear weird noises and stuff as we go.
It's just the road.
Honk honk. And yeah, we are on the way back from Trebles Fest. We just as. Frequent listeners know we're from Iowa. Pocono, Iowa. Try spelling that one. And good luck. It starts with an M. That's good luck.
It's an old Native American name that white people stole and then turned it into their town.
So we just did a whole bunch of driving.
Are doing a whole bunch of driving.
Yeah, well, we did some, and then we're doing some more again. All go to Trebles Fest, which was in Santa Fe. We're in Colorado now, but Trebles Fest was in Santa Fe. It was a whole huge thing. Pretty much kind of the idea, impetus of it, was George R. R. Martin bought a railroad with Michael Gross and this other guy who owns the theater, and was like, hey, let's have a Trebles Fest.
And then they did it. And it was in the railroad district. Like
the rail yard, yeah.
The train literally went through, like, right next. It was right next to the theater.
Right there. So, you know, Michael Gross was creaming his jeans the whole time. Yeah, just the whole time.
Cut that.
By the way, Michael Gross is incredibly tall.
He is really tall.
These and other interesting tidbits we'll find out during the rest of this episode. Yeah, right on the rail yard.
I can't remember the name of the theater. You know the name.
The Violet Crown Theater.
Yeah, the Violet Crown Theater.
And no, that's not the one George R. R. Martin owns. That's another one called the Jean Cocteau Theater, which they were planning on doing some stuff together, but I don't know what happened. We'll discover more about that as we talk here. It was like just freaking crazy. It just happened.
You need to tell a story of how it all came to be. Why did we even do it? Or why did we even drive the millions of hours to get there and do it? Like, what was the point?
Well, I mean, because it's Trebles.
I know that, but like, that's not. I know in your world that's an answer that most people should just accept, but that's
it
not.
It is an answer.
Because Trebles, Caitlin, that's not. It's an answer, but also a non-answer. Sponsored by Culver's.
So it would have been about
actually it was September that Michael Gross kind of first dropped rumblings about this happening or whatever. And then I took it upon myself around January to actually find out where the theater was and find out what was happening and see what was going on. I literally called every single theater in San Fe. I had them all in a book, and just every single one. And of course, in irony of ironies, it was literally the last theater that I called. That was the one that was the one that I needed. I got a call back in January. Started to get some stuff set up in terms of sending actors and letting them know, like, hey, this is happening. Getting lots of people's emails. Hooking them up with the theater so the theater people can do it. It was actually one of the bigger people that helped put it on is David Gill at the Violet Ground Theater. This seems the Victoria person helped a little bit. I don't see even admitted it was mainly David over here. I was contacting him back and forth, a lot of good stuff. Ended up getting a lot of different emails for Trevor's people. I got Vin Carter's phone number now. That's weird. How to feel about that one.
Did you know that in your phone, on your call logs, it goes Caitlin Lunt, Caitlin Marie Lunt, Don Michael Paul, Caitlin Marie Lunt. And I can't handle that because we both have three names in your phone. And it's like, wait, what? Who called you? There's a story there.
That's, weirdly enough, that part's at the end.
I just wanted to give our, if anyone's watching this, like, there's a story there.
Don Michael Paul gave me his phone number because I have trashed his movies, and then I apologize for trashing his movies because he's actually a really great guy. And actually, it's not about him being a great guy, because I mean, that shouldn't matter when it comes to movies. It was more about he had a real reverence and passion for the Tremors movies, more so than I believe some producers or the NBC Universal side would like to let on. There's bad people in this story too. Like,
there's always a villain in every story
somewhere. And yeah, Don Michael Paul. And then I still don't know how to feel about that. Like, so we're gonna do this Tremors Fest episode. I'm gonna upload this one, and then the next episode is gonna be me, just by myself, and it's gonna be called. Well, okay. So here, I told Don Michael Paul this story. I walked up to him. And I was like, hey, so the next episode of the podcast is going to be called An Apology Letter to Don Michael Paul. And he's like, oh, you know, man, that's a little pretentious. How about, like, Don Michael Paul's a great guy? And I was like, well, you know, it's funny. I was actually, like, almost, that was going to be my Don Michael Paul is a cool guy. And then his editor, Vanek B. Miller or something, was standing right there. And he's like, how about Don Michael Paul ain't half bad? And I was like, okay, So that's the title. There's going to be another episode after this where I apologize profusely.
Buckle up.
And obviously, we're starting early on this conversation, but watching his movies on the big screen actually gave me an appreciation for him. I imagine Caitlin did too.
They're gorgeous. They're really pretty movies. Like, they're really cool. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe them. They're just really fun to watch.
Yeah, he's got big eye. His movies need to be seen on a big screen, but because he's got big vision. So, Caitlin, why did you come to Tremors Fest?
Because you were going to be there, and I feel like if I didn't go, I would have had really bad FOMO the whole time. Also, I like to take road trips, so that was my... It's not that I didn't want to see Tremors. I love Tremors, but I don't love it as much as you do. Well, I guess maybe that's not the right... I don't have the passion for it as much as you do. And, yeah, I just went for the adventure.
Was it an adventure?
It sure was. It always is with you.
Oh, that's mean. I feel like that's...
No, it's not mean. I've said it like 14 times today. Like, yes, that we always get up to some shit. It doesn't matter what we're doing or what part of the country we're in. We always find something ridiculous.
We saw the Stargate moon, too.
We did. It was a whole thing.
We just did that like an hour ago, actually.
It was like 3 hours ago, but that's fine.
I don't know.
I've lost all track of time because what the fuck's going on anymore?
No, we got to go up to Cheyenne Mountain. It was really cool.
So two nerd meccas reached Booyah.
Yeah. So
we went on an adventure to fucking Tremors.
In Santa Fe, New Mexico. It was like a 20-hour drive.
Yeah, 26 hours because we stopped, too.
Well, we stopped to sleep.
Well, but you still, like, that counts because we didn't get out of the car.
True, we did sleep in the car.
Yeah. No hotels, we didn't get out of the car. We just been right here. And it's not bad.
I don't know, this rental has been dope.
Yeah. 10-10 doing it. And we went to Tremors Fest. It was kind of funny when I was helping set it up or whatever. I was trying to work and get me and Zoran Wojcik to moderate the panels because there's going to be Q&A panels. And there was really just some really messed up things happening behind the scenes. I still don't 100% understand what was happening.
I don't think we ever will.
Like,
I feel like
there was this thing going on with the theater and then, like, Glenn Matic and, like, just... I feel like fingers and pies and stuff was going wrong. But I was really hoping to moderate these panels or whatever, and Michael was hoping for me too. And ended up that they let the actors moderate the panels, which was way, in the end, way cooler. Like, that was definitely like,
yeah, because cool. It devolved into storytelling sometimes. Like, they stopped, they forgot to, like, answer fan questions and would just talk about stories, like, from their time on
just
set.
What they were doing.
And their memories, and it, like, watching the movie evoked all these cool memories that they were able to talk about.
They just got to, like, reminisce, and it was so much cooler than any strictly moderated thing would have been. Like,
One
of those times where it's like, that didn't work out, but it worked out better with what happened instead. Like, that was cool.
I think Zoran would agree, too.
Oh, we did. Actually, when I first told him that, when he first got there, I was like, oh, hey, I found out why, and it's like, they're doing it. And he was like, oh, no, that's, like, way cooler. Because it was. Like, it really was.
No,
honestly, Don Michael Paul had a hard time answering questions. Because he was so happy and effusive and just, like, he was telling great stories, too. Where it was funny, like, the producer of Tremors 5, 6, and 7, Cher Stallings, was there. And I was sitting right next to her. And she's like, Don, you have to answer questions. And I recorded all the Q&As, and I turned to her, and I was like, honestly, this is kind of fine. Like, he's answering the questions without realizing it ahead of time, just by telling these really great stories. Most of our questions and all the questions got answered. That was cool. They all gave Q&As. I'm trying to go through order. So, okay, this is a bit of lead-up, too. This is important backstory. So, about a year ago, Glenn Matic completely banned Keitha and I from the official Tremors Facebook.
We're going to go there?
Yeah. I feel like it's important because then it colors the rest of, like, you know. So, we knew Glenn was going to be there. All right, this is going to be our first time face-to-face meeting him. In fact, Glenn has been on this podcast before. He did a whole fucking interview episode that was almost 3 hours long with me. We go back, but he got really mad at the Tremors Saga people for posting memes, pretty much. And then took it out on anybody he thought was associated with them at all. Just like, and there was a Tremors Saga Facebook group at the time, and actually there still is. And he banned pretty much everybody that was in it that also was in the official page. Just on a really scary, coup, crazy man level. Almost kicked out one of the moderators of the official page, and the admin of the Tremors account itself, like the Universal account, had to come in and be like, no, Glenn, like, this other moderator, John, has been with us way longer than you have, like, and he does really great work, like, don't just kick him out. Really messed up. So we were going into Tremors Fest with this whole, like, alright, I was personally saying, I'm going to ignore Glenn. Like, if he tries to shake my hand, I'm just going to ignore him, whatever. I don't want to pull it. And then Caitlin was like, I'm going to fucking rip his head off.
Obviously, I didn't. And obviously...
And I'm
happened a little differently than I was expecting.
It was so weird. All right, like I said, Glenn went full nuclear on us to the point where I had a messaging system, like, message him back and forth. He has not been, I've been trying to message him for months, and he will not message me back. I sent him a picture of me with Steve Wilson. It was like, hey, look who I met. Nothing. Just cold. He's been blocking. Like, we made a Trevor movie, and he put the blocking in every time I posted, and his other Trevor's group he's up out of. Just some really weird, shady shit.
Power trippy stuff.
It was just hot. And so then, literally, we get in there. I get in there, and I sit down to, next to Zach Wiley, who's the guy with the largest collection of Tremors memorabilia on the planet.
Pretty impressive.
Like, I would easily put a finger on, he's got the largest collection. Nobody else has beaten it. I sat down next to him, and I was talking to him, because I didn't really want to meet him. And fucking Glenn walks right up to me, and like I said, went to go shake my hand, and in that moment, I was just like, you know, I don't really care. We're here for Tremors, all right? Shake your hand. What's up? I'm talking to Zach. Like, what are we doing? And Glenn, like, sat down next to us and was talking, like, nothing had happened! At all.
The same thing. He did the same thing for me. That's why I did the same thing. I just chose, I was like, you know, I'm not here to fight. I'm not here to make enemies. I'm just here to watch Tremors and meet some people. Look, I'm not, despite what everyone might think about you and me, we're not out here to, like, fight everybody and argue. And there's no need for that. Like, yes, it might happen from time to time. That's because we are mostly Levi, but me too. Like, we're both feisty and spirited.
Passionate, determined.
And when we've been together for as long as we have, sometimes people see that as a threat. And then they take it and spin it in their own way. And it's more often than not right. It's not, they would just ask, hey, what's your deal? We would tell them. But more often than not, it's someone like that who gets the wrong idea and then doesn't try and figure out what's actually going on, just spins it out of control, and then makes it way more dramatic than it ever needs to be. Like, there's just not enough time in this world for dramatics.
Like, I still don't understand his animosity, and I actually don't hold any towards him. It's more just like...
Well, I'm not going to lie. It really hurt me.
Oh, yeah.
It really hurt me because I did not do anything to anybody. I did not say anything to anybody, and I got in trouble by association, and it's not the first time in my life that's happened. Not even within the last, like, 5 or 6 years. So, it hurt. It really, really hurt. And I'm still not allowed to post in that official Tremors page. After all of this, after everything that's gone on, I'm still not allowed to because someone doesn't like me.
And won't explain why. So that ended up this whole weekend, like, Glenn, it almost was like he had a brain tumor.
Was politely cordial.
And asking questions, checking in on, actually not checking in on us, asking us our opinion of how we thought things were going.
Yeah. More so on the first and second day, but yeah.
It was odd.
I really don't know what to make of any of it. Like,
That's what I said. We had to start and get it out of the way because it colored everything in terms of just like, what the fuck is going on? Because even the first day, like, I get there, and Keaton kind of hated me for this, but, like, we showed up 7 hours
early.
No, okay,
We
got there at, like, 1 o'clock. How about that?
The movie started at 7 o'clock.
Six, but we left early. And,
to a theater. Can you imagine what there is to do around there to wait?
Well, there was stuff.
We did everything twice.
There was stuff.
Like, I got really well acquainted with that parking garage.
We went to the restaurants. There was stuff.
It's more like 6 hours early. Like, you easily could have cut that in half.
I don't know. I thought, well, it ended up being incredibly important that we showed up that early. Because then, if you ever know me and I'm at an event, as soon as I see people need help with something, I like to jump. Caitlin does the same thing, too, where it's just like, we have the theater background, and it's just like, there's stuff needed moved, cleaned, chairs, table, whatever the hell, stuff put up, you just grab shit, and you go or whatever. And I see Glenn, like, moving tables out of this room. It was Zach and Glenn. And I was like, what the fuck, man? He came up and shook my hand, so it's like, you're the one with no animosity. Okay, I guess that's fine. And just, I helped set up. I vacuumed the room beforehand. Got the poster set up. Got all the tables set up. Ended up, I ran these tablets on all 3 days. So I could do a time lapse. I had it going. I recorded literally everything. And this whole time, I was expecting Glenn to, like, shut me down. I don't know what the fuck happened. It was the weirdest thing.
I don't know either. I'm not quite sure what to think about it. I hope that something good can come out of it.
Well, there is good things that came out of it. We're getting there. Like, there's a lot of good things that came out of it. Like, I don't mean just something. I still don't know. He, like, left. He was, like, one of the first ones out on Sunday. I still don't know about that. He, like, grabbed his stuff. Like, yeah, got there early, super-duper early. Helped set everything up. Got it going. And booyah! Just, like, look who starts showing up. Look, there's Michael Gross. There's S.S. Wilson. And there's Michelle Wilson. We got to meet Michelle Wilson! Who's, like...
Levi's spirit.
It's
sister, I don't know.
She's on fire.
Yeah.
Like, she's just legit, like, she's been behind the scenes of Hollywood so long that she just doesn't care about anyone's bullshit at all.
And we both really appreciated that.
It was, at one point she was walking out the door to go get beers with Steve and Zoran, and she's like, if you ask them why Kevin Bacon doesn't want to work with his doesn't want to work with my husband, it's just like, holy shit, what the fuck, it's actually, I'm exaggerating, it was not that, but there was this, like, no, you fucking ask him, like, because I wanted to ask the question in one of the Q&A's about, like, so, hey, why did you kick out Stampede tonight? Zoran was right there, and was like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this in a nice way, and Michelle's like, no, you just asked him. Why the fuck did you do that? Just ask him. I was like, holy shit. Okay, which is really funny, too, that when you know Steve, who's this very mild-mannered, sweet little old man.
He's so cute, and like...
He's not old, he's like 60.
No, he's not old. Neither one of them are old.
Like, he's like my dad's age, so...
And he just, like, is just really quiet. Well, not introverted, I think is probably the better way of describing him. But he has a lot to say, and everyone... We're all better for listening to him talk.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a really cool dude, and I just... He has a wealth of knowledge, and he's got a lot of weird interests, and, like, I don't know, like, you can learn a lot from someone like him.
It's true.
And we do.
Spoilers for the later part of the episode, I dressed up as Steve S.S. Wilson for the comic.
And got runner-up!
Yeah, and admittedly, I actually would have won if the original judges were...
No, I would not.
That was what, like, Gladys and Lila were... We don't want to play favorites, so we're going to push this to the crowd and let the crowd decide. Because I had actually already been talking to them in character as Steve. So they were just like, oh my god, what the fuck is this? This is amazing. I'm freaking out. But that's... We'll get to that. Yeah, so, like, everybody... Michael started showing up. Steve. Ron was there. Lila Lee showed up. There was this absolutely... adorable moment that I have to, because I was recording everything, that I have to cut out of it and send it to Lila Lee and Gladys Jimenez. We're glad, like, they met up and they just started, because they literally have not seen each other since the rap on Tremors the series, which is literally 20 years ago. And they saw each other, and Caitlin, what was it? Their colors.
Oh, you're going to have to give a little bit more context than that. People are going to be like, what do you mean?
You color context.
Yeah, so I've developed this coping mechanism. You're going to learn a lot about Caitlin today. I am a very, very strong empath. I feel everyone's feelings, good, bad, in between. And I'm right there with you. And I've developed a coping mechanism where I associate colors, or I not see colors, but, you know, you associate colors with different feelings or different people. And it was just a bunch of rainbows. Like, it was just a joyful, like, rainbow, like, every color, like, that happened, and it was one of the coolest, most joyful things I've seen in a really long time. Like, it was nice, because if the Tremors Fest hadn't happened, they probably wouldn't have seen each other. And that's crazy to me. Like, that's nuts that they haven't seen each other in so long. But that's just how life works.
That they literally sat next to each other the whole weekend.
As many times as they could, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like, that was just the most...
It was joyful. It was literally joyful.
So freaking cute.
Yep.
It was so neat that they could... they love Michael Gross, but then they just know they did.
Oh my God, it's a bite, my bestie!
Oh my God, it was absolutely beautiful. Let's see, what was else? Oh, so then, like I said, all these great people are showing up. I ended up kind of being a gopher of the event. I think I would probably, that was how I would classify myself. I was a primary gopher.
That's exactly what you were.
Where people needed things or anything like that. And that, honestly, if it was even fans, it didn't matter. Stars, fans, everybody, I just ran around. And
everybody knew who Levi was by the end of that first night. But in a good way. Like, you had people coming up to you all weekend. Like, you know how many pictures we took with people?
Oh my God,
yesterday?
That was so...
Like, as we were leaving, it was weird.
Oh, my God. As we were leaving our hotel on Monday, Derek Hillier's family.
Hillier's.
Which he had brought his, like, two brothers, his wife, his son, and their little baby. And the baby was in every single screening. And they weren't even crying. It was this adorable little, like...
That baby was very excited and had a lot to say and was very excited about seeing those movies.
Was loving Tremors. We were leaving our hotel and like Derek like came out and we didn't know and he was like, oh my God, hey! Oh,
it's you!
What a Tremors Fest, man. That was awesome. Would you guys like take a picture with me?
Of course we would.
Yeah, and it was funny that we were like, oh yeah. Oh shit. No, neither of us, all three of us didn't have a cell phone. So we're like, here, we're going to go get, we were packing bags anyway, so we were like, we're going to go back inside and grab our phone. We'll come back out here, we'll meet you up and do it again. And yep, lo and behold, got a whole picture with the whole family. And
the baby too.
The baby too. And the little like 8-year-old boy was like asking questions, really cute questions the whole time. Like,
I don't think he was that old.
Oh, I don't know, he's just... Let's say 5. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he's. Yeah.
I don't know ages. Don't put that on me. But it's really cute. I actually ended up. There was a couple people by the end of the last night. One kid, Damien Sawyer Merriman, Harriman. I'm trying to get their name right because they're listening to this podcast. Damien Sawyer Harriman, Merriman. Please forgive me. I just read it. I saw you were in the Trevor Sager group. I just read your name. Like, walked up and was like, hey, can I get a picture of you? I love your podcast. And I was like,
That's so cute.
This other dude came up to me a little, like, actually about 5 minutes before that and was like, hey, man, I just want to tell you that, like, you really made me feel better about being here. Like, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? He's like, yeah, no, like, I, like, love Tremors, man, like, a lot. And I was really worried that, like, I would come and people would be, like, looking at me weird because I knew so much about Tremors. But then there was you. And I didn't worry about that anymore.
And he's like, you know everything about tremors. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, it's my job. I run the Talking Tremors podcast. And he went like, wait, that's you? He was a little dry. I don't mean to be Mitchell Bantine, I think. Mitchell Bantine. I want to get your name right. Mitchell Bantine or Bantine something. I'm not great with names. But this is a note for next year's Tremors Fest.
Name tags.
Where there's going to be a table with name tags on it. And slap that shit on. Even Michael Gross gets a name tag. Down Michael Paul gets
I feel like he could be like maybe the one person who doesn't need a name tag.
Yeah, but he put it on just to...
He would, but he wouldn't have to.
That'd be funny.
If anyone there doesn't know who that man is, then you need to get the fuck out. Sorry.
So Mitchell was like, oh my god, let me take a picture with you. They're like, no, let me take a picture with you. Freaking out. Everybody was, I can't even begin to. Met Pake. Pake Allen, Run For Your Lives podcast. We've taken so many pictures with him. That's me. We're talking about meeting the people. And actually, on that, oh my god, this was a horrifying, horrifying note for me personally. Was I had these Tremors pants on. My mom made us Tremors pants. With like Caitlin has Kevin Bacon's face on them, and Graboids, and Project 412, and I've got Bergummer, and the Sandworm, and the Dune Worm, and the Graboid, all on more of it, and really cool pants, honestly. We had everybody sign in them, because that's just like, why the fuck not? Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there, and walk by Sarah Botsford, who plays Christine in my favorite Tremors movie, Tremors 4, was standing there, and she, like, points out my, or somebody asked me about my pants while I was standing there. I'm like, oh, yeah, my mom made them. And she's like, this is literally the first interaction. This is horrifying for me. She's like, hey, so do you know your fly's down? And I was like, ah, shit, oh, no.
Disclaimer, Levi's fly is almost always down.
To the point where when I did theater, there had to be a person who, like, checked my fly before I went out on stage all the time. Because I'd be changing costumes and shit really fast. And it's just one of those, like, oh no, I got it button, but he didn't get it. Like,
I'll never forget that time, all shook up, and I was in the pit, so I couldn't do anything about it. And I just had to watch the whole scene. Your fly was just open. You were, like, in the middle of the stage the whole time. Like, I had a perfect view of your open fly, and I literally could not do anything about
it. So, yeah, I literally met the lady from my favorite Tremors movie for the first time.
And she said the same thing.
Oh my god. Which ended up becoming a good running joke between the two of us all weekend.
She was pretty cool.
I met her, and then I was pointing her out. Oh yeah, that's my wife over there. You should go tell her the fly joke thing, and she'll get a real kick. And they did. I was taking a video of it, and she was like slapping her ass and shit. That was adorable. And actually, that was really what was cool about meeting everybody. And I'm going to point Robert Jane out of everybody. Talk about, like, absolutely most down-to-earth dude. And then Michael Gross is one of the most kindest. He spent so much time there. He only had one day. And he spent more time than he should have.
Yeah.
Talking to people, signing autographs, making sure that everybody felt like that they had Michael Gross's attention.
Oh, yeah.
I mean it. Just, like, absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing person. Ron is a really cute, cool dude. He's going to be on the podcast, too, later. Can't wait for that. Same with Robert J. Actually, Robert was really just, like, I love talking to him. Just a sweet, mellow guy who's grown up around it. He brought his kids. Like, they were both teenagers, and he was actually giving them shit during the Q&As. Like,
I don't think they had ever seen Tremors before.
No, I don't think so.
And they were like, what is going on?
Oh my god.
They had a look on their face the whole time, like, oh my god, where am I? What is this? What did my dad drag me to? Wow.
I don't think we're coming back next to your dad. Honestly, no, I take that back. I think they had a good time as any.
Once they figured it out and they were like, oh, this is what dad's always talking about. Now I can put it, like, a little context to it.
Because it was a great, it was a great osmosis in that sense. Like, once we kind of let the cast and crew meet
each other for the first time or whatever, and let them have their hellos. Then everybody got to meet them. And it was just this, from that point on, all throughout the theater, you could just see everybody. Maybe Ron was talking to a fan, or maybe Zorin's talking to Steve Wilson. Like, maybe Michael Gross is kissing a baby. Michael Gross kissed that baby. I was trying to get my phone out to like record it in time, but then.
Oh, that mom probably got a really good video.
I hope so. If I think I know that mom or the dad,
like
your baby to Trevor's family.
I'm willing to bet money. There's photos and a video.
Oh, it was adorable.
That little baby got their picture taken with like all kinds of cool people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was another star of the show. Just like, hey, what's up, dudes?
I think that's what Derek told me. That's why I've been saying that. I'm pretty sure it was a little girl though. They were very excited about all of it. Very, very well behaved.
Very. This is odd for a baby. And that then carried over all 3 days. Hilariously, the most aloof person was fucking George R. R. Martin, who like showed up for the Tremors 3 screening, and then showed up for the Tremors 7 one, and in both cases was there about 5 minutes and fucked off. And he even bought a cake for the seventh, the after party after the end of the 7th one, and like it was a Graboid cake, very cool, but like he was there like 10 minutes. Like, they cut the cake, he got pictures, and he fucked off.
He had better shit to do, apparently.
Not writing a book, though, I guess.
No comment on that. I don't want George R. R. Martin or his people coming at me.
But everybody, and that's where it's at. Like Don Michael Paul on that Sunday, I wish he had been there every single day, and he did too, actually. And that's where there's this thing here. There's a divide happening with this Glenn thing over here that I think he's separating both groups of people. Because Don Michael Paul spoke so reverently for Stampede Entertainment and was wishing he could meet them and, like, actually talk to them. And I was telling Don that because it's like, because there's Don Michael Paul and Ron Underwood. So you got Don and Ron. Don and Ron could have been talking about directing and shit. He talked to everybody. And they all did. Everybody was just so, there was no snobbery. It was just people happy to talk to everybody else about it.
Everyone was there for a common purpose.
Yeah.
Everyone loves those movies. Everyone just wants to see them live forever, and they want. And you could ask every single person there; they want more content, more Tremors content. Like that's the whole thing. That's probably the number one thing I heard from people. Oh, I'm sad that the Kevin Bacon thing didn't go. What happened to this? What happened to that? Blah blah blah. It's like, yeah, no. Everyone just. You have a common theme, or not a common theme, a common
goal,
hobby,
interest.
Yeah, interest. And you're gonna end up having fun because all those people are like your people.
It was.
Yeah, that's why I was most excited about that, and that it did not like let me down. The people that you've been telling me about are genuinely cool as hell.
Like, you mean the fans or, like, the crew, too?
Both. Honestly, both. I was pleasantly surprised by everybody. Everyone was really kind and humble and very giving and sweet. I don't know.
It was nice.
Everyone was nice.
It's not that I was surprised, because I know that from everything I know from them anyway. It's more just, like, when you have that expectation of, like, that kind of thing, and it actually meets or exceeds it. That's freaking cool. Like, it really was. Like, I can't. Well, the last night Steve was there, he was asking me about my dad.
Yeah.
How's your dad's hip doing? Oh my gosh, thanks for remembering, Steve.
It's fine.
He's good. I ended up telling him that he's kind of overworking it a little bit, but like, and it was just really cute. It's like, yeah, overworking it. He messed himself up a little bit. We're thinking about, he's really looking to get the second one done. And Steve did. Yes! Which,
for him, that's pretty animated.
It was pretty, pretty like, but he did just, yes. It was so cute, so cool.
Yep.
Thanks, Steve. I know you're not listening to this, but still.
We love you.
We love you, Steve. We love you, Michelle.
That's implied.
And then, so this is just as a strange aside. So Michael Gross's wife, Elsa, was there every single day. Like, Michael Gross had to leave the first day, but Elsa was there every single day and was enjoying herself in each movie, like, watched each one. Like, it was a trip for her to watch her husband on the big screen.
I mean, come on. Like, the fifth movie, the one where he's in that cage with that lion.
Oh, yeah.
If that was my husband doing that, I would be so proud. And I would be laughing hysterically. That shit he does in that cage is amazing. And she had to have been so proud.
She was.
I know she was. I could tell because I was sitting. She's right over there, and I could tell she was giggling the whole time. Like, she was literally. I could see her like head. She was like laughing the whole time.
Fine.
At her husband acting a damn fool in that freaking cage. It's one of my best things. I love that scene. He's really intense.
It was even funny too. When we were watching the fifth movie. Don Michael Paul laughing at his own movie. And not like a pretentious, like, he was legitimately getting joy out of his own movie.
Well, because, like he said, he had never seen it on the big screen before. Like, he had never been able to do that. It was just never a thing. Went straight to DVD or streaming or whatever. So it was actually very exciting for him.
Oh, yeah.
He was really genuinely like, oh my god, I get to watch my movie on the big screen. That's a big deal. Like, that's... For him, he was really enjoying it. And it made watching the movie more enjoyable.
Yeah. If fans of the podcast know, I have not been fans of 5, 6, and 7, but Don Michael Paul, literally watching him enjoy it, and then everything he had to say afterwards, I am now a Don Michael Paul convert.
Heard it here, people.
Yeah. It was legitimately cool.
I did not have that on my bingo card going into all of this. That is not something I would have thought at the beginning of all this, that I'd be like, oh yeah, no, that's probably... Nope. You were very, very, sure. Like, you were like, nope. Those movies suck.
I told him that too, but...
Yeah. I've never disliked them. I don't know. They're definitely not... They're two separate things. The first four movies and the last... They're two separate things. It's like the Star Wars movies, kind of, to me at this point. Like, you have the beginning, you have the after. But I never hated them. Like, I never... They're really pretty to watch.
Coming out of this weekend, I think my biggest thing is that, like, the Stampede Tremors movies are writers' movies. And then the Don Michael Paul movies are director's movies.
Yep.
And those are two very different kinds of worlds, but they also, like, offer different things that, like, one does better than the other.
Yeah. And it's not to say anybody's wrong or bad, it's just different. So you're expecting consistency and continuity, and you just don't get that.
That's where I still say, and I've said this on the podcast before, where, like, I would love to live in the world where we get a Don Michael Paul directed and Stampede Entertainment written and produced Tremors movie /TV show.
Yeah.
That's where your money's at. Like, yeah, combine those two worlds.
Combine forces for a better good to keep something that we all love alive and well.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do, I feel. But it just seems like... Something is happening to make that divide happen.
It's not us. I used to think, I thought we played a hand. Nope. Not us.
How would it be us?
I just blame myself for things. I'm an instant blamer.
Are you kidding?
I understand.
It's a 20-plus-year-old problem. It has nothing to do with you or me.
I know.
Why do I have to say that to you out loud?
Because that's you're my wife, and that's how that works.
No, it has nothing to do with us.
Because one of the, so, this is how boss of God Mike Baldwin is, right? He was given his Q&A, and I recorded literally every single Q&A. I'm going to upload them to the Trevor Saga's YouTube channel. Recorded every single one. And during his Trevor's 5 one, he was like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that were, like, trashing me online and stuff. And, like, I tried really hard, man. And, like, it kind of hurt. Because, like, you know, I did. When he got the first, when the job was first offered to him, he actually told Patty Jackson, the Universal producer, I don't think I'm the right guy for this. He'd just done the Sniper sequel, the Jarhead sequel. And he's just like, these are really great movies, and I just don't think that I'm the right team for this. And she, like, no, it's your job.
Which is kind of a weird, like, that's very rare for, like, anybody to say, because that's basically turning down work.
Yeah.
And he was willing to turn down work because he didn't think that he was the right guy to continue the Trevor series. That's a pretty okay guy in my book.
Right,
I don't know. Like, that guy,
right?
He's all right.
And he did, like, within that sentence, within about a minute of him talking and saying all that, I was like, okay, nope. I silently to myself, I was like, yes, Don, I trust you. Sorry about that. And then it was funny, we were walking out of the theater, and during each of the Q&As, this was prevalent for every single fucking Q&A, was that if there was, like, some minuscule piece of information that somebody was looking for or couldn't quite find or whatever, I would just shout it from the audience.
Yeah, and you were right every single time.
Every single time.
And no one questioned you. That
every single time.
Everyone just kind of, like, smiled and giggled, and they were like, oh, it's just Levi. Levi's definitely right.
Okay, I believe I got
it. We're not going to question it because it's Levi.
Every single something that nobody else was thinking of, and I just managed to, like, oh, it's this thing. It's such and such. And actually, in the Trippers 5 one, it was, they were talking about the HK-91, HK-41 mix-up that happens. And Don actually straight up admitted, and he was talking about how Michael felt so bad about it. They're like, oh, no. We fucked that up. That's not. And, like, we can't go back and fix it. Like, we're out of Africa already. And he was just saying how Michael, it just kills him. Like, it just kills him that happened. And I pipe up, because they were talking about, what's the gun? What's that gun? And it's been the gun that's been in, like, the movies since, like, what movie? Number two! Oh, yeah, well, okay. Apparently this guy knows. HK-91, Trevor's 2 After Sex. Because what was it that, like, happened? She took it as a divorce.
You were like a walking dictionary of all Trevor's anything.
And it was really, and he was just like, oh my God, and we fucked it up, and Michael feels bad. But then I was like, you know, I've always headcanoned that, where, like, he has heat exhaustion at that point in time. And Don was like, well, that's actually pretty good, but, you know, Michael's not here, and he still feels bad.
Yeah.
But I was still like, no, man, it's heat exhaustion. He's in a cage.
It's okay.
We can give him a pass.
Yeah, he's allowed a mistake.
And that was even before I met, like, Don Michael Paul. I was like, oh, he's just in a cage. Like, I get it. His brain's not. And so we were walking out, and he was like, man, you're really knowledgeable about Tremors, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, Don.
You could say that.
I run the Talking Tremors podcast. We're up to, like, 40 episodes. And I'd like to personally apologize to you. For what, man? Like, what? What's wrong? I'm here, babe. Were you one of the ones trashing me?
Yep.
Yes. Yes, I was, and, let's just walk down the stairs, and we'll just keep going about the day here, and I'll talk to you. We'll have a discussion that's not us just coming out of the theater right now, because, yeah, I did, and, I take it all back, and I was shaking his hand, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And that's how I ended up with his phone number. Because then, like, obviously they went to go get everything signed, and, like, people... I always like to wait to last, that way I'm not, like, holding up the line, because I can talk a lot about tremors to people, so it's like I'd rather be the last one to know between them. And I came up to Don, and he's like, all right, so you've been trashing me. What did I do wrong?
It was just like that, too. It was really uncomfortable. I was filming the whole thing, and I was like, oh, God, he actually asked. This is amazing. Like, I literally got the whole conversation on video.
So, there was some these things, and you have a lot of pee jokes. I had major stints, oh, my God.
But he had a good answer for
it. He did. He had a great answer for it. And I even backed him up a little bit with my own bits of like, okay, if A equals B, then here you can also, there's C and D too. and we're talking to him, and he's like, yeah, man, I'd love to hash this out face to face sometime. Like, can I come on your podcast? I was like, yeah, man, like, how do I contact you? Give me your phone. Yeah, okay, sure, here's my, there's the phone. Alright, beep, 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 click, ring, and he's got a smartwatch, he's like, alright, see that? That's you calling. Anytime you want to talk about this. And I was like,
what have you done?
Okay, I'm sorry, we're gonna do this, that's fine, we're gonna commit to the honesty, and I fucked up, but that's fair, alright.
It's going to be a great redemption arc.
Oh, it's going to be cool. For both of us. Well, and this was really cool then later, because I could tell Don's pain from, like, not getting to interact with people that he really likes. He really liked Steve and Brent and Ron. And he was really, in both of his Q&As, that he was just lamenting that he doesn't get to, like, meet them. And so I straight up told him, I was like, all right, hey, man, listen, I got their emails. I'm gonna work some of my magic, and we're like, next Trapper's Fest, you guys are all three gonna be in all 3 days, and there will be no separation, and you're all gonna talk to each other, and you're gonna find out you have a lot in common.
I found the whole, that divide, it's still kind of bugging me a little bit.
It is.
As someone who has been force-fed a lot of this information, maybe not always when I want it. I'm not gonna lie. It's tremors 24/7 in my life. I found myself feeling kind of odd on that third day. Because people who had been there for the other 2 days were very noticeably not there. And I knew why. And I feel like everyone else did too. But that doesn't make it right, and that doesn't make it, like, no, it makes it, like, you're conflicted. Like, I felt weird. I felt like I was betraying people, but that's not at all what was going on, but there was a moment where I felt a little guilty, and I did not drive 18, or however many fucking hours we drove, to feel weird because people behind the scenes can't get their crap together, and I don't appreciate that as a semi-professional Tremors fan. It's just not, it's not what I signed up for, and
it's not what any of us signed up for.
And it's not what should be happening.
No.
It's the opposite of what should be happening. And it really bumps me out because there are other things in my life that are very much like this that I don't have any control over. For whatever reason, I feel like I can have some control over this and say, it made me sad that the creators of these movies, regardless of when they were made and by who, weren't allowed to interact with each other. Weren't allowed. It was the vibe I got.
It wasn't spoken aloud.
It was not spoken aloud, but there was this. There was this whole, we're going to keep it separate. We don't want any drama. We don't want any whatever, like, we're doing this intentionally and on purpose.
And that goes back to the Glenn thing, where it's like, he seems to be
a
little stick in the sand.
I'm not going to speak to that, because I just don't know about him in general. I met him one time, so, like, I can't really speak to that
I've
at all.
I've met him enough to know that.
I get it. You can say whatever you want, but I'm not gonna.
If I had to pick a culprit in terms of that, knowing what he did to us, and then, as Caitlin and I say, like, all the other, imagine how many people he's done that to that don't have a platform.
That can't speak up and say something
about it. They can't, like, do something about it. And that, they're still Tremors fans. And it's just because, oh no, Glenn's in this middle here, and so everybody's assuming that, like, he has to know.
And maybe that's not what's going on at all. Maybe, like, Don Michael Paul, maybe you have it really wrong, and maybe that's not it. But that's just what it seems like from right here. At least to me. I know it does to you. That's because,
something was weird.
That's because we don't get told everything.
It was.
We have to start following the patterns, I guess.
It's what we've been doing. That's what I've been doing.
All I do in my life. That's literally all I do every single day of all my life.
You're not a child of divorce, so you don't know what that feels like. But it felt like being one of the kids and, like, okay, Mom's leaving for the weekend, and now here comes Dad.
Yeah, like, you're going to go hang out with your mom for a couple days, and then they're not going to be around, and then you're going to hang out with your dad for a day. Like,
and weirdly enough, you're going to hang out with your dad in the same place you were just hanging out with your mom.
They're just going to swap out like everything's normal.
Okay. Colorful Colorado. Sorry, I just had to.
We're literally going into Kansas.
Kansas.
Shit.
But yeah, it was like being a divorced child. Like, what is going on here? Like, why is this not? Why can't you guys work together?
Well, because, like, Don Michael Paul wasn't at the other ones either. Like, that's it went both ways.
Yeah. And
it didn't really seem like it was the people who were being, like, ostracized or not included were not involved in decision making. I don't think they really had a choice.
No, I actually know that from Steve, where Steve was just kind of being told what to do.
And he definitely was not invited to that third day. Which is insane, because he's the one that came up with the original concept. If anyone should be there all 3 days, it's him! It boggles my mind. It's not hard. People are making it hard. It's like, this is so dumb. Like, why does everything have to be dramatic and about money?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can do things just because you want to and because you like it. Not because you're going to gain anything out of it.
That's what this was.
Yeah, what did we gain out of this? I'm $1,500 in and we're still in Kansas.
Nobody paid us to do shit.
No.
All that we got out of it was that I got Don Michael Paul's phone number and a bunch of people's emails and had some great time with some friends.
Yeah. But, like, professionally? No, we didn't gain anything from this.
Monetarily? We didn't gain anything from this.
But we didn't expect to. That's the whole point. That's what makes us different than everybody else. We're not out here for money. Never have been, probably will never be. And that makes us a lot different than most people that are involved in all this.
There's something. My nose is taking, I don't know if Caitlin's is too, but it's like there's just something there.
Oh, my bullshit meter is.
There's something.
I just don't have enough of insider knowledge to know exactly what. I just don't.
Glenn's my main suspect. That's where I go back to that again. Only because of a track record of doing that, of dividing people. For their own good, as he likes to say. But anyway, it was depressing. It was, sorry, we had to go on that tangent because it really made us full sad and confused.
Conflicted.
Very, very, I don't know how to feel about this right now. Like, what is this? Like, I was really happy on that third day, but it was just tainted by this, like, yeah, where are the other people? Why weren't, and with it was like, Don, it's like, shit, why weren't you here the first 2 days? Because he actually said, I would have loved to have been here. And hopefully next time they'll let me.
Yeah. They'll let him.
That's how he phrased it to me. Maybe next year they'll let me.
That is insane to me. That is even. Because honestly, everybody in that room is an adult. Well, with the exception of the children, obviously. But I don't think that even if you put them together, I don't think anything bad would have happened.
I really don't.
I think they all would have found a common ground. I think they would have enjoyed each other's company. I think that it would have been joyful and long overdue.
I think the same thing that happened between me and Don Michael Paul would have been the same thing that happened between them.
It would be a whole
realization. Man, we trashed each other's thing, or we were worried about this thing, and you know what? We both really care about this, don't we? And it's clear that you care. It's clear that I care. Let's shake hands here in the middle and, like, let's make something. Like, let's do something about it. I feel like, and I mean that from having met all the other ones. Like, it was like, no, like, there's no way. That is what would have happened. Michael told me that, too, where he's just such an affable guy. He's like Chris Farley. Like, if Chris Farley was a director.
It was really fun. Boisterous.
He was passionate. He was giving the Q&A, and it was so cute. Like you said, he was not answering questions. He was just telling stories. For the first one, he was down on the ground. But then in the second one, he got up in the seats and was getting up close to people and just like, hey, so you got a question? And he'd like walk up like right next to him. So, hey, what's your question, man? Like just like right there. Like, hey, yeah, I'm here for you. What's up, dude? Like, the sweetest fucking thing, man. Like,
yeah.
So I don't believe, in any sense of the term, that bad blood would have been spilled. So I sit back and I wonder, okay, where did that happen? I'm trying to think of everything else that we did. Like, As I said, the bad blood has been spilled. I was just more like, yeah, you know, Glenn was asking me to post pictures on the fucking Facebook group, and I'm like, you still blocked me!
I literally can't.
I can't! You jackass!
That is even more worrisome that he doesn't even remember.
Like, just like, and I didn't want to bring it up at that time, because we were eating cake, so it was just like, not exactly, George R. R. Martin's like, 3 feet away. Not exactly the time to say that guy, you've been a douchebag the whole fucking, like, for the last year. It's called tact. And some people think I don't have it, but I do. So fuck you, those people. Oh, shit. Huh. Another cool thing is that movies like Tremors need to be seen on the big screen. Don Michael Paul's movies especially, like, they deserve to be seen on the big screen. It was an absolute joy. All the screenings turned into Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Basically because of you.
No. Everybody else started it with the first one.
Well, that was because, everyone was there.
Everybody was hooting and hollering and calling out the lines, and every time a graboid would die, people would be cheering and clapping. Like, yelling at the screen. It was fucking amazing. And that was, like, the first day, and they only showed one movie. And then I was kind of sad. Like, it seemed like half of the people left. Like, there wasn't as many people the second day.
No, I don't think so either.
And they all, like, left. And it was like, well, okay, so we had that Rocky Horror thing going on the day before. And we'd actually talked to Megan Gorman and Zorg and Wojcik about, the, like, how visceral that felt, how cool that was. I was like, okay, well, like, I don't think this crowd, it was like 11 in the morning, I was like, I don't think this crowd is like, got the thing. Okay, I've got to provide it. I've got to, we're going to knuckle down.
Ever. Jesus Christ.
I did what I could with what I got, okay?
Yeah, I would call it that, yeah.
It was good times. And then by the time we got to the fourth movie, then I was just an absolute mad person.
Well, everyone else in that theater, that was their favorite movie, too.
It's true. A lot of Tremors 4 fans. We were all hooting and hollering. And, yeah, if there was rice to throw at the screen, or pumpkin pies to throw at the screen, when Graboids exploded, it would have happened. Like, next year. next to you. Well, something that's not squishy.
Yeah, I cannot see a theater wanting to do that at all.
Something like it, okay? Pantyhose. Everybody's got pantyhose that they throw.
Sure.
When a grab wind explodes. Yeah. And honestly, meeting the fans and being with the fans is probably one of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
I met a lot of really cool people.
Yeah, what'd you mean?
Probably everybody you did. I met a lot of people. It's hard to remember everybody's names.
Name tags. We got a long way. Name tags.
No, I got recognized as, oh, hey, you're with Levi, is how I got recognized pretty much. Yep, that's me.
Or as I like to call her, Caitlin.
Yes, that is me. But I'm also the other person there with you, and I guess that's notable somehow.
Well, they're probably, like, jealous.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's more, oh, wow, there's someone here with that person.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Levi's not as crazy. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's, like, literally someone else there with Levi. What the frick is that?
What is going
on? And who is that person?
I should get my life together.
No, that's definitely the vibe I almost always get. Which is kind of mean, but...
Oh, yeah, it's mean to me. It's way nicer to you
it's
than it is to
mean,
me.
Yeah, but I am always just like, yeah, no, I've been with Levi a long time. Like, that's just, we're just a package deal. I don't know. Can't really explain it. It's just how it is.
I have to say, we got to talk about people we met. I got to meet the TikTok rapper, Daniel Trujillo. What's up, bro? I hope you're listening to this. Hey.
We love you.
Tell your mom we say hi. Hi, Victoria. She was adorable. Oh, my God. Like, she kept thanking me so much for being there for you, Daniel, and having you on the podcast. We got to have you back again. Third time, maybe. And she's going to send us TikTok rap with t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I gave Dan our address. I was like, I hope he sends us his address, too. And, yeah, she was the sweetest little lady. Not too much, but...
She's cute.
Yes, she was cute. Except Zach Wheelie was really cool with me. I was expecting a completely different kind of person with all that. Like, for someone to collect all that stuff, he was, like, the most calm, collected person there. It was really cool. It was helping me a lot with what we were doing behind the scenes. Pink. Oh my God, Pink Allen. Run for Your Lives podcast. Spent a lot of time with Pink. We're going to be doing an episode with Pink. I am, at least. Doing the same thing. Talk about Tremors Fest. We had to do one together. Because that's important. And then, oh my God. And then getting to meet Zoran Kavojcik and Megan Gorman, man.
Yeah. That was pretty sick. Those guys are great.
Adorable. I actually was the one I managed to... Megan wasn't going to come, but I managed to get her a ticket and, like, sent it to him, like, on Monday or Tuesday. It was just like, oh my God, I finally got a ticket! And they were freaking out. Man, I just honestly beat them with just tops. Tippity tops, tops. I kept taking pictures of Megan when she was filming Zoran, because Zoran was doing interviews. I've been messaging Zoran for a while now and trying to get this thing together. It's just like, now just bring something, man. Just bring it. I don't know what you can be allowed to do, but I'm going to bring everything. So you just bring everything.
Yeah, just be prepared.
And you never know. And most likely, yeah, you'll be able to talk to anybody. And I ended up pushing him, just like, no, just go and talk. Just fucking walk up. Explain yourself. Trust me, every single one of them will want to talk to you. There's no way in hell that they wouldn't. And they did everybody, every.
He got a lot of cool stuff, he said. That's going to be something cool, whatever that turns into.
Yeah, he's putting that video together for Deadbeat. But freaking, Megan would be filming him, and I would have to, like, every time I would catch it, I'd have to, like, take a video and be snapping shots, because she was just like...
See? had this, like, energy and joy about her. You could,
like, she was trying, like,
she tell was like, really, really proud of.
Oh my god, I can't move or anything right now, but I am so excited.
Well, there was also that,
that's like, what I mean. She's didn't want to. She's filming it, she's like, I can't move
her laugh.
I can't fuck it up. Oh my god, this was so great,
though! Yeah, no, it was really fun to watch them work. Like, I don't know, that was also kind of what, I got to people watch.
Oh yeah.
And there was a point where you could just watch all these cool people doing their thing, and like, it was fun. It was a really cool, creative time, I guess.
That was beautiful. Honestly, all the fans, if any of the fans that were there, and I don't know your name, so I said name tags, I would have loved it. I probably did meet you, and I remember your face.
More than likely, Levi probably met you, because I think you ended up meeting everyone.
I did. Well, I was just snapping pictures.
3 or 4 times.
Like, I took pictures of everything, of everybody. Everybody was important to me. Not just, you know, Ron and Don and Michael and Steve. I took pictures of all the fans, everybody, man. Actually, Caitlin went out to go get a poster board, because Zach had a great idea of, like, oh, you know, all these fans are getting stuff signed. We should have a poster board that says Tremors Film Festival 2023 and have everybody else sign it. And it was like, okay, there's the million-dollar idea. And Caitlin went out to Walmart to go get it, came back, and I wrote Tremors Film Fest on it and had everybody sign. People were drawing graboids and shit on it, too. It was really cool. This is where it's like, I don't, you know, Glenn, you know, like, took all of his stuff. Actually, he left that. He left this really cool, great, like, signed thing with all these fans. And he just, like, left it there.
Well, it's in our trunk now.
So. It is. We took it. I took it. Because it was like, oh my god, this, to me, that was an incredibly valuable piece of what we're doing. Because Zach's point was like, oh, you know, we should have this, have everybody sign it, and then next year, we frame it, we bring it back, and then, like, then we showcase this, then we showcase last year's film festival, and we've got another one.
That means a lot to people, because then they can say, no, I was at the first one, look, my name, it's in that beautiful frame
thing
there.
That's right there, that's me.
Michael Gross's name is right underneath it. Like, it's a big deal for people. As someone who's probably never done that, he just didn't see the value in it.
No.
We know the value of it because of theater stuff. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, remember during the 50th anniversary, we were able to look back at, we did community theater in our town, and it was around for, it's been around for probably almost 60 years now, but we were involved in the 50th anniversary celebration, and they did the same thing back in
66.
They did where they had the date, the time, where it was, and then everybody who was there, including the performers, behind the scenes, everyone who helped, and then everybody in the audience signed it too. And then they could look back, and every time they did an anniversary, like 10 years, 15, whatever, they would bring those out, and they collected a bunch of them to the point where we could display them at the 50th anniversary and be like, look, history, look at the people who made this possible. It couldn't have happened without them. It's good to remember the past and, like, learn from it.
There's no Tremors Fest to be had if you didn't have fans of Tremors.
Yeah, because you'd just be showing the movie to people who made it.
To Michael Gross and Ron Underwood.
They were there. They know what happened. Like, they want to share that with everyone else. That's kind of the whole point of what they were trying to do.
Spread Tremors.
I just want to say, I've seen Tremors 17 million times. It plays on a loop at our house. It starts the first one. Goes through 4 that sometimes the TV show is on. We very rarely ever watch the last ones. We just don't. That's just not what
we're changing it now.
We'll probably change it up.
We'll change it up now.
But it's on a loop.
It's like, not on a loop.
I just feel like
sometimes when I'm researching things for Tremors, I put it on to like.
Well, every time when I come home for lunch on like each day, it's a different Tremors movie.
No, well, that was just recently because I was getting prepared for Tremors Fest.
You've literally seen them, like, so many times. And that's not what I'm trying. I'm not trying to argue about it. I'm more trying to say I have seen them a million times. And a lot. I've only seen them in the last, like, 4 or 5 years. Like, I just never watched them.
She's a new Tremors fan.
I just never watched them growing up. So, like, Levi showed them to me once and then just never looked back. I just haven't stopped watching them. I found it to be one of the most enjoyable things to sit in that theater with the people who actually made and were a part of it. It was fun to listen to their joy at what they did. Because it made me appreciate it more, and they laughed in places that I didn't realize were funny. And then afterwards, you're like, why were you laughing? Oh, because of this, and then they would tell a story or whatever.
It was, like, I was talking about Don Michael Paul laughing at his own movie. Ron and Steve were laughing at their own, too.
Yeah.
Like, we sat right behind them and we were watching them. It's like they were getting just as much joy out of 1, 2, 3, and 4 as Don Michael Paul got out of 5, 6, and 7. The same reactions and laughing and stuff, which really is like, oh, you know. Weirdly enough, it reminded me of when last week when we watched our Tremors movie, and I was laughing at, oh my god, I was just cackling at how dumb and stupid and well done, or like, oh, there's that now, this is messed up, or just all these little things. It was just enjoying it, not because it was being pretentious, but just like, oh my god, this is funny. I do really like this. And yeah, all the fans really made that, brought that to life with the cast and crew there. I thought that actually Lila Lee herself had said she had never seen any of these, so she couldn't find him, and she cackled more than anybody sometimes.
I think that's nuts that an actress who played a character on the Tremors TV series didn't have the access to be able to watch the movies that it came from. That's insane to me. If anybody should have the access, it should be her. And that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about having access to watching things in general. It's insane.
There's some weird things, man.
And the fact that she had never seen them before was just really like, wait, what? You were a part of the Tremors TV series. You never watched the movies?
She wasn't able to.
No, that's what, and she wasn't able to. It wasn't because she didn't want to. It's because she didn't have access to them. What? That makes no sense. How could she not have access to them? She should. She should have. Anyone should have. It should have been her.
Looking at you, NBC Universal. Picked fights with him, so it's just an ongoing thing now. Now that I've learned, I'm not blaming Don Michael Paul, I know right where to aim my eyes. Glenn and NBC Universe. What the fuck name? What else happened though? I'm trying to think.
Sorry, I'm not yawning, I'm yawning because of...
We're driving. She's driving.
Also, long COVID, just this is the time of day where I start to get really sleepy.
We're sundown in
it. It's kind of like that, I guess.
What else? Oh my god, the costume contest!
That was like the one other thing of note that happened, yeah.
That was adorable.
You got runner up!
I did. I dressed up as Steve S.S. Wilson. I said this earlier. And, also, you know, I'm Steve S.S. Wilson. Welcome to Talking Tremors. So what was funny about it was that I wore it all day because I don't know when you're cosplaying.
You might wear shoes all day.
Yeah, it was worth it. It was worth it for the bit. It was so fucking worth it. And it did. If you know Steve, and I had the hat and the glasses and the little pocket protector and the flannel.
I definitely took a video.
You said the belt.
It was solid.
It was ridiculous.
The little girl that won, though.
She made her own Burt Gummer costume. Like her own Burt Gummer costume.
I don't know what it was, but that little girl looked just like her.
Yeah.
I can't explain why.
There was like five other guys dressed like five
like
other
big,
huge,
like, big, like
guys
macho dudes.
Dressed up as Burt Gummer.
And that little one, she was like, what, 12, 11?
Rory McLaughlin.
That cosplay was one of the best cosplays I've seen in a really long time, and I genuinely can't explain it. She really looked like her.
She was prepared.
She really, truly did, and she acted like him, too. I
She
was my favorite.
Because they had us do a line from the
movie. And Zorin and Levi were in it, and that she was my favorite.
In terms of, like, I didn't mind being runner-up to her. It was like...
The right person won.
Like, it was like, ah, oh, man.
And then the fact that it comes down to you and Zorin as the runner-ups, I was like, God...
And then Zorin was all like, I defer to Mr. Wilson. Because, like, here's what was funny. This was so adorable. So, like I said, I was dressed up as Steve, and I was doing my Steve voice just, like, all day long. And I had met up with Lila Lee outside the theater, and she's like, I saw you yesterday, but, like, what are you doing right now? What is this? And I was like, oh, hi, Lila, I'm Steve S.S. Wilson. And she went, oh, my God. But hold on a minute. Okay, so you got to do that again, but his is a little deeper and slow, and just, like, just do it again. And I was like, hello, Lila. My name is Steve S.S. Wilson. And while I think that Susan Chuang did a very excellent job with this film you're about to see, I felt that you took the part really... made it your own. and then I would just start, like, shit. Sometimes I just start bursting laughing, and I was like, oh my God, Lila, I can't do this. You're making me nervous because I'm doing Steve to you.
It's very good.
And so then we, like, went into the theater, watched the third movie, and then the costume contest happened. And then it was supposed to be Gladys Jimenez and Lila Lee were going to judge it. But they were like, okay, so... we don't want to play favorites, so we're going to open this up to the crowd to decide who wins, which to me was like, oh, so why was the winner? That's good.
I don't know about that.
It wasn't so much that mine was the winner. It was like, oh, cool, so I did look and sound like Steve. Awesome.
No, you did, and you sounded just, accomplished. Yes, no, that's why everyone was like, really, like,
Robert Jane had us all do a line from the movie, and I was the first in line. So this is so awkward. I was the first one in line, and he's like, "Hey, everybody, let's just do like a line from the movie or whatever, you know, man." He talks like that. He's very velvety. And hold on, but like, there's not a line from the movie, and I was like, "No, I got this.
I got it.
And I just did the Lost Tapes. Hello. My name is Steve S.S. Wilson. And it just went on for a little bit. And then I was like, I can't do that anymore. Robert just went, oh, what was it? He like turned around to the audience like, what was that, man?
You know what? Out of all of that to happen, I am glad you're finally doing an impression of somebody in front of an audience.
They all enjoyed it.
It's not just me anymore. Everybody gets to experience that now, not just Caitlin. And I'm glad for that.
Because I was thinking, like, Robert's grown up around him the most. Like, literally been a kid when Steve, like, was wearing that hat and shit while watching him direct it. Like, I got even Robert J. And glad he's, like, fucking dropped. She was like, oh my God!
It was pretty spot on.
I even had the Land Sharks idea in my pocket. I had, like, written it down.
It was on, like, a crumpled up piece of paper.
I had it crumpled up, and I put it in my pocket. I got runner-up, though, and Rory McLaughlin rightfully won. But she was there with her family. That was actually one of the first fan people I interacted with, because I had seen their photo. They had taken a really grainy, crappy photo in front of the Tremors Fest sign. And posted it to the official franchise group, and there was four of them, but one was switching out to take the picture. And so when I first saw them, I was like, "Hey, I saw your picture. Let's go in front of the sign, and I'm going to take your picture for you, and I'll send you these, and like you can have a really nice good one with all four of you." There's a point during the Q&A where they asked a question, and then the mom and the siblings were all talking about how like the mom would always put on Tremors when they were growing up. Adorable.
Yeah.
So I can see why Rory wanted to be Bert and was influenced.
Yeah.
It was cool. Let's see what else happened. Are they trying to go through the old brain boxer? Oh my gosh. I've been going out of order. First day, Michael Gross spent like 4 hours signing shit and talking to people. When he really only should have spent two. And, like, Elsa kept coming up, like, Michael, you have to, like...
We gotta go.
You have a plane to catch tomorrow. Like, you're not... I have to wake you up. Like, don't do this to me. And eventually, like I said, I'm always at the end of the line, and I eventually had Michael sign my stuff, which was just the Trapper's Pants and then the Seeking Perfection book. And I was like, that was, I wanted to keep it limited because I had a really cool idea where it's like, hey, Michael, so I have this Burt Gummer hat, and I had written out the names of our nephews, Tamaje, Shante, Chantrell, Sahil, and Shamar. I was like, can you, I know you can't improvise as Burt Gummer. I know that that's not, that's really hard for you. Can you just, like, read these names off and send a little message to them? Like, they love Trent. I've been showing it to them since they were, like, 5 years old. Like, they...
No. You've been showing it to them since they've been babies. That's, are you
that's
joking?
True. Okay, I exactly.
They are all... They've been watching Tremors longer than I have. Okay? At this point, like, they're about to be, like, 9, 8, 7 years old. 85% of their lives, they've been watching Tremors. Chantrell makes a Burt Gummer tower, or no, it's Burt Gummer's house.
It's a Burt Gummer bunker.
Yeah, it's a Burt Gummer's bunker out of Legos. And we have been instructed to leave it
there. Never break it.
And if it breaks, we have to call him and tell him and then try to fix it. Because Burt Gummer needs his house, or his bunker, or whatever. And it's a little Lego guy, it's like a little army.
Little Lego bird.
He's like a little army man. He's got, like, little camouflage, whatever, and Chantrell will drop that little guy in the bunker and say, Burt Gummer's home. Okay, T, like, that's cool. I'm gonna move this over here so I don't break it. Remember that time you knocked it over?
I did. Uh-oh. I put it back together again.
Don't tell Chantrell.
Nope,
he would not be impressed, and we're just not gonna tell him. It's our little secret here. Don't tell Troll.
And then Tamaje, I love his response, but it's like...
Yeah, my...
Tamaje, do you wish that Burt Gummer was real?
No.
Because then Graboids would be real. Which is a very salient answer for a seven-year-old.
Oh, I laughed so hard when he said that.
It's so good.
Like, you know what? That's a really good point. Yeah. Burt Gummer equals Graboids, and if Burt is around, that's
Graboids
not good.
Graboids are around.
Yep, and I... You know what, Bod? You're exactly right.
That feels like a thematic through line for, you know, a season of TV. If Burt Gummer's around, grab
him. He was
when
like 3 years old when he said that, too.
Oh, my God.
3 or 4.
Smarts. So, I was like, hey, Michael, would you, like, read these guys' names? And, like, and he did. And he actually, each one individually, he's like, Tamaje, I know I could be there for you, but I'm out there just doing what I can, but
He said each of their names.
For each of their names. And he changed it up. He did different things for each one. But like, Chantrell, I was denied the critical need to know information that you wouldn't be here. But that's okay. Just keep carrying on. And I was like, Jesus
Christ.
Burt Gummer says, you'll be okay. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God. They're going to die. They're literally going to be like, wait, what did you do? Because he looks just like he's got the Atlanta Hawks hat, and it's just, I don't know, it's just
beautiful.
It's perfect.
Beautiful. That man is a treasure.
And he really didn't have to. He really didn't have to do it, and he did it anyways.
He did it anyways. So freaking cool.
Yeah.
I ended up giving him a bottle of wine, too. Homemade wine. And then I asked him if he wanted some edibles, and he had this look on his face like,
maybe if I wasn't getting on the plane.
Really cool. It's awesome.
We've gone through pretty much everything.
I think so. It's just good times. Yeah. Can't wait for the next year's one.
I don't have to drive so far.
Yeah, I'm working on making a Chicago one. That would be nice. A lot of people from the East Coast want to make it, but they couldn't.
Kansas City would be a cool spot, too.
No,
anywhere where there's, like, a cool theater. Or, even better, a group of theaters where you could do different showings of things.
Bop around.
Honestly, I felt the one theater is good, just that we have a localized area to circle around.
Yeah, but three movies in one day?
No. See, that's what you do change, though. Instead of three movies in a day, we do two. Double feature in a day.
You would think that was exhausting, like...
It was. It was hard to watch the movie. It was just like,
it was really hard because you had to like wait around. It was really hard because we spent all of our time in that one space. And it was a beautiful space. That's not at all what I'm implying. It's more just like my autistic brain needed to get out and do something different.
Something else.
And the schedule didn't really allow for that, which maybe was the point, because then you would be forced to like get food and drinks and whatever while you waited at the theater, and then the theater makes more money. But as a patron of that, it was really hard to stay at the same spot.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying. And I don't know if that can be helped, but it definitely, like, it...
Double features, like you said, it was just
hard. After a certain point, you just kind of checked out. At least I did. And then you had to drive 20 minutes back to your hotel, wake up and do it the next day. It was hard. It was a lot. Just a lot. All crammed into, like, a tiny space of time.
Could have been organized a little bit better.
I don't know about better. Differently.
Differently.
I think differently is the way to approach that. And it's not that what happened was bad. It was the first one. You have to kind of figure out what you're doing and figure out what works and what doesn't, and get you then hopefully they get feedback from people, and maybe, because I heard from multiple different people who thought it was a little too much. But again, you're not going to know that until you try it. And again, it's also the first one. It's never been done before. It's unprecedented, technically. So, you know, I don't know about better. Different.
Differently. I would agree with that.
Differently, and like just taking what went on this year and growing and being better. It's not to say anyone did anything wrong or bad. It was great. It really was. It's just now you can grow and improve on that and potentially include more people. Grow your fan base, grow your the people who were involved with it, and then they're able to come back and, you know, like Robert James and Lily Lee, and you get more of the people. Like, can you imagine if we could get Jamie Kennedy to come out?
Oh,
I would love to sit down and talk to that man. Even if it was just for 2.5 minutes. He is a nut job, and he always has something funny to say. I just feel like it would be really fun. Technically, he's Burke Umber's son, so he should be there and be included. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And everyone's like, oh, Jamie Kennedy sucks. Yeah, no, he's a little rough around the edges. Sometimes he says things and I'm like, oh my god, please don't. But he's still involved for all, like, you can't say he's not.
Oh, you can't deny him his place.
No. He's there whether you want him to be or not, and it's kind of how it is with everything. Like, everybody is involved for different reasons. Why are we excluding people? I guess intentionally. Sometimes people get excluded on accident. You know?
Especially with the big stuff happening like that.
And it being the first one, so then sometimes things get overlooked and, you know,
it's like,
happens.
I thought it was weird, yeah.
But no, this felt intentional.
Yeah.
This felt like they had been talked about behind the scenes by people who really didn't need to be talking about it.
No. Should have just been left alone.
It should have been just left alone.
Just
left.
And it should have been. Decide.
Exactly. Just took the words right out of my mouth. It should have been an open-ended invite to all 3 days for everybody. And then that's exactly what they decide. Because you want to know what? Steve and Michelle might have chosen not to come on that third day. And that's fine, because it's probably kind of hurtful for them. I get it. Like, They should be let. They should be given that choice.
But also, Don Michael Paul should feel like he's free to come.
And he probably. And so, you want to know what? Here you go. That's exactly my point. And here's why. Don Michael Paul would have showed up on those first 2 days. They probably would have found some common ground. Him and Steve would have gotten along, and then Steve would have felt comfortable to come to that third day.
Yeah.
And then they could have, like, literally gotten over something that's been hurting them for a long. Long time. They could have started.
10 years now.
They could literally start to heal. This isn't even about like intellectual property anymore. I mean, it is about. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me started on copyright law. It's about letting people just like heal from something that happened to them a long time ago that they've never been able to control and move past. They're no fault of their own. Just something stupid and bad that happened, and they had to just deal with it accordingly. This could have been a step towards healing that and mending fences and making things better, not just for the Tremor series, but for them as people. Like their mental health. Like it could have helped everybody feel a little bit better about everything in their lives. And it feels like it was intentionally denied. This would have been a great way to at least start that conversation. Even if it didn't happen or whatever, at least you started it and at least you tried.
Open the door.
It intentionally felt like that door was like locked shut and a chair was put underneath the doorknob to keep people from coming in.
Don Michael Paul kind of guilted Glenn into, hey, open up your phone. Let's send a video. Can you send a video call to... to your brother Brent right now? And he was like, okay, I guess. And he did. And he like looked at the camera. He's like, man, I love your movies, dude. And you and Steve and Ron, you really just made something. And I tried my best to like live up to your vision. And I just love you guys so much. And I better see you back here next year. And then Brent like actually ended up texting back like an hour or so later. Like, oh, hey, like.
That was really nice.
That was really, thank you. That was really cute. That was awesome. Like, thanks for loving our movies, man. Like,
it would mean a lot. And it would mean a lot to everybody involved. And the people that were planning this have no concept of that.
No. It's all about don't rock the boat, don't rock the boat. Which is where I say Glenn, because that's his whole
personality. Don't rock the boat, don't rock the boat, but make more money at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just like,
But that's how everything is. It's not just this.
So here's the last... This we'll sign off. We'll start to sign off here. We ended up finding out that the production company, Universal 1440, which has made Tremors 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the TV show, Kevin Bacon's pilot, Universal 1440, just closed its doors on Friday.
And today is Tuesday.
Friday.
Like, the day that the film festival started.
Fucking Friday. And so then everyone was talking about, oh, is there going to be Tremors 8? Tremors, Jesus Christ. I feel bad when they ask that so many times. It's like, and actually Don came out and said it, and he actually, because Cher Solis was in the audience, and he's like, can I tell him this, Cher? Can I tell him what happened? And, yeah, yeah. And actually Cher got up and said it. And was like, yeah, no, like, it's closed. I actually asked Cher, too, and she told me this straight up. Nope, it's closed. And a lot of us just lost a lot of our jobs, and we don't really know what we're going to do now. So maybe there's a Tremors 8 in the future somewhere, somehow, or whatever, but it's like, oh, wow, so this whole production company that ended up screwing this one side is now screwing the other side. And that's where Don Michael Paul himself was like, fuck you, NBC Universal. That's where I don't mind doing that, because even he was like, he didn't say fuck you, NBC Universal, but he
implied it.
Without the microphone in front of him when we were talking, there was a couple times, just like, yeah, I mean, whatever.
Is Stampede Entertainment a production company?
Yeah, still are.
Hey, I got a really good production company that can take its place.
Yeah. Well, that's where they're working on getting the copyright. Like, this is actually a big incentive in terms of like, well, your company just went, why don't you just give us the fuck?
And then we can make another movie for you and make everybody some money. Like, why is that so hard for people to, like, get? Like,
would you like more money? Let's make some more money.
Like, I could do that, like, tomorrow. You just have to give me back my intellectual property. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Because then Don let it slip. They're like, the Tremors movies that he made were all made for a budget of like $4 million, which is the same budget as the other Tremors movies.
Yeah.
Which is insane. And then that, like, Universal tried to tell Stampede, oh, well, we just don't think that you can, like, make low-budget features after making a ton of low-budget features. And then still, like... That's still basically paying Don Michael Paul the same amount of money to make his Tremors movies. It doesn't make sense. I don't. There's this. As the person behind a lot of things about Tremors and finding things, that there's a big chunk of the puzzle missing that somebody has hidden under the couch because they don't want it seen.
Yeah, that's definitely how I feel about it too. And I'm not even one to like. I only know what Levi tells me. God, I'm not going to go out and research any of this.
It's just me.
No, Levi is the only one that does that. But you tell me everything. And it's hard not to see what you see. Because, you know, there's patterns that I see every day. And this is definitely one of them.
The pieces are all there.
They are. And there's someone who doesn't want us to see something. I don't know. It's just... There's a piece of the puzzle we're never going to know, just because of our place in all of this, but I think that's working to our advantage, because we don't know, and we just do good anyways. You can't fault that.
Nope.
Like, you can't deny that. You can't tell that person no, like, you know.
We're just doing what we can with what we got. Like, that's...
Be good people.
I do love that sign up. Zorin interview. I still can't get over that.
You got interviewed by Zorin.
I got interviewed by Zorin. And then, oh my god, it was that point. Levi, what does Tremors mean to you? I think it's humanity. Because humanity is, like, horrific, but also hilarious.
And you,
like,
said that?
Yeah. And it was like it's both horrific and it's hilarious.
Oh,
and, like, we all have to, like, work together to, like, get through this. And, like, there's metaphors of giant monsters all around. And, like, what really matters is each other and what we can do to, like, get through it.
What did he say?
This was fucking funny. Zorin was like, I literally could not put that better myself. Oh my god, like, he had this face where he was just like,
I kind of remember
this
that.
Is why you're so good at this thing with Tremors.
I just couldn't hear
completely you. Understand the underlying concept. Like, he stuttered, and Zorin doesn't really stutter much, and he just,
Zorin is a very well spoken person.
I literally couldn't put that better myself, and he started laughing.
Go check out his videos, by the way.
Obviously, like, we all know. Deadbeat kill counts.
I am astounded at his... He just has this charisma and the way that he's just so engaging. Like, I don't care what the hell he's talking about. He could literally talk all day, and I'd probably listen to it.
I would literally listen
to it all day. He's so fun and entertaining and a nice, sweet, like, kind person. Perfect. Just absolutely wonderful. And Megan and his wife, too, they were both...
Megan's like Caitlin.
They were both wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. We're better off for having them.
Everybody is. Having them a part of the Tremors.
No, having met them, like, we're better. We're better for it now. We're better people because we have met them.
Oh, yeah. Because I knew you.
I mean, if you want to make it weird, yeah.
I actually... there was a joke about me sending a piece of cake to Zorin. And I actually cut off a piece of the cake and I'm gonna send it to Zorin.
It looks like a wiener.
It's the tongue. It's a tongue or whatever. And I'm totally gonna send up that piece of cake.
That's disgusting.
It's not gonna mold, it's the fondant. It's not gonna go bad. It'll show up in the mail and he'll be like, Jesus Christ, Levi just knows how to get it. Like, this is amazing. I know. Who the hell did I meet this weekend? What the fuck is that? Which is pretty much how everybody felt.
That's good. There's kind of like a transition effect when you meet Levi. You kind of have to, like, figure Levi out, and then you either go into one of two camps. You're either all in, or you're, like, not even a big fan. Like, not even a little bit. And I found in being around you that people really only fall into one of those two categories. They either are, like, all in with you and love you and get you and, like, accept you and whatever, whatever. Or they just absolutely want nothing to do with you and are threatened and just don't get it.
Thankfully, everybody at Trevor's Fest is in the first category. So.
Yep. And that's kind of rare. Normally, there's somebody in that other camp, and they make things kind of hard. But, no, everyone was great and accepting, and I got asked several times what your pronouns, what you prefer for your pronouns, just because I don't think they had talked to you yet.
They, them,
yeah. But it was nice. It was just very nice.
It was very sweet. Everybody was incredibly sweet. I'm trying to think. I think it's freaking covered it.
How many miles have we driven?
I don't know. We've been going for an hour and 45 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, right. What a great way to spend Kansas.
Oh, no, we just started Kansas.
I know. It's just so flat. Actually, it's not too bad. A lot of windmills are up.
There are a lot of windmills, yeah.
Santa Fe was a beautiful city. We'd love to go back again. We stopped at Hot Springs on the way. One of them was on a mountain hike. That was
interesting.
Actually, I like that one the best. Yeah, we saw Stargate Mountain.
We did.
We got Michael Gross's number. Don Michael Paul's. I still don't know how to feel about those things.
I thought talking about this would help. It just kind of makes it more real.
It was her idea to do this.
I thought it would help me, like, emotionally unpack from everything, but now it's just making me think about it, and I'm like, holy shit, that really all happened.
That was all true.
Like, it all sounds kind of made up, and I say this a lot in my real life, like, a lot of the things that that happened with or around us sound made up. Like, it sounds like we're embellishing what actually happened for comedic effect. I wish that was the case. If I could embellish what goes on in our life for comedic effect, I would. But there is no way that could happen because everything is so fucking
already there.
Everything is so dramatic and stupid and like this. And I'm talking about like in our personal lives with our family.
Everything.
And this added on top of that gets to be a little bit unbelievable. I'm here to tell you, it's every single one of these things happened. I've got pictures to prove it if you need, but no, every single one of these things is true. I can back it up for they all really did happen.
Let it be known that goes for every episode of this podcast. Like, she could vouch for every single moment of everything I've said.
I know it does sound a little ridiculous, but it is inherently true. And I'm gonna let you in on a little secret about Levi. You really cannot lie. Levi tried to throw me a surprise birthday party last year. It made you physically ill.
Physically? Like, to the point where I ended up eventually having to tell her, like, a day before.
You know, you told me, like, a week before because you...
No, it was, like, a day.
You could not believe it.
I made it just the day before. And I was just like...
But it was making you physically sick. And you could not hold it. You can't lie. You can't. It's not possible.
It took everything.
That is a lot of the reason that people sometimes don't like you or just don't get you.
It's also the reason a lot of people do like me.
Yes.
100% honesty. That's where it's my metric for like if someone likes me or not. It's like, oh, so you're an honest person. Cool. That's great then. I can trust you.
I can work with that. That's great. I can't do the other. Yeah.
If you don't, I'm always like, oh, so then what are you hiding? Yeah, so yes, we had an incredibly honest weekend all around.
Yeah. Yeah, I was brutally honest at some points.
Yeah. Like I said, Michelle, you fucking tell
them! She's feisty as shit, and I feel like I just love her, and I...
Oh, she was. Oh, she was adorable.
I just really enjoyed meeting her. She has some fun energy.
She snaps, man.
She's pretty feisty, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Any other last thoughts, Pam, before we wrap it up and I thank people?
No, I have no other thoughts.
All right.
Except I'm ready to be done driving, but we have so much
time. Well, I will trade out after this.
There's nowhere to trade out. Like, it is
we'll
just...
figure it out, man.
Just flat.
There'll be a rest area or something. We'll get it. Well,
okay.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Okay.
So, yeah. That was the Travis Fest at the end of the... Oh, my God, that guy talking about the trip. We made the suspicion to pose the Travis the Bell Rail.
Did you get that on video?
I did several times. Because they had that Travis Rail Ale that one of the breweries made or whatever. Michael did intros before every movie, and then this guy was also in the tag of, like,
he's talking about the Travis Bell Rail.
It was very hard to understand.
It was very difficult.
And Michael Gross was trying really
he
hard
did.
To be cool.
He communicated it for us.
Well, no, the look on Michael Gross's face, he was just like, he was just like,
we'll get through this, buddy. This is take six.
It was,
we got this.
No, yeah, no, his eyes just got really big at one point, and he was trying really hard to, like, understand what that man was saying.
It's funny. Yeah, thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to all the people that attended Tremors Fest. Like I said, Damien, Sawyer, Harriman, Yo, Mitchell Bennett, Bennettine, Paint Allen, Daniel Trujillo, Amy, I think it was Amy Sawyer, Hellenberg, you're the one that got Soren's ticket. Thank you for that. That's super appreciated. Derek Hilliers, who I imagine they listened to the podcast on the way home because he freaked out when I told him. What? You have a Tremors podcast? Oh, dude!
Yes, make sure you bring the kiddos back next year. We're gonna try and bring our kiddos too.
Oh yeah, we're gonna bring the nephews next year just because.
I hope that Tremors Fest is ready for them.
That's funny. You think I'm in it?
This is basically Levi, and then you add three more people who are a lot like
they're
Levi with the same amount of energy, and they're so fucking cute that you can't ever tell them no. It's really bad.
Let's see.
Sorry, I'm being distracted.
No, you're good. Michael from Mike's Comics, Austin Eckert, Zach Willey, and again, I love your collection, and I'm going to get you to sign my pants and that book. I know you don't want to sign that book, because it depreciates the value. No, it doesn't. I'm never going to sell it. I just want people signatures in it. Who would sell stuff like that? Like, you're just going to keep it.
You would literally, like, die before you sold that stuff.
Trina's family, and Rory McLaughlin, and Kaylin, and it was Trina and Trinity, I think, it was actually two. That whole family, you guys were adorable and amazing. Especially name tags, because I see people coming up and talking to me. And honestly, if you were at Tremors Fest and we talked, I actually did love you, all of you people. You were all great. I did not meet a single bad person.
Neither. Everyone was really nice.
Besides maybe the theater manager, she was kind of bitchy in a couple of
weeks. I just feel like she just didn't.
She was tired. She didn't want Tremors people there. She was not. She didn't really organize it, and she had to be there for it.
She was basically doing someone else's work, and she was kind of bitter about it, which I get it. Like, I would have been too. Like, I hate doing other people's work. So, yeah, I would have been a little bitter too.
She's just a little salty.
I have to hold it against her. She did it.
However, fuck you, George R. Martin, I guess.
Again, you don't want him. You don't want him coming after you.
Cut that. Get to write your book or else.
Again, cut that. You can't say that. You don't want him coming at you.
Whatever. Like, he knows he needs to be writing his book.
He's probably maybe all the way done. Maybe he's finishing the maps and shit that he does at the end of his books.
No, he's not. Somebody else does those.
What? He doesn't do those? That takes up like 35% of the book. He doesn't even do that?
Somebody else does
God those. Damn it! Are you kidding me?
I don't know for
Hold
sure.
Hold on, does he
but
do
I'm
the...
assuming somebody else does
those. We need to fact check this then. Does he do the, like, the family... He has to do the family lineages, right?
I think he
does. Trees? Because that all comes from his head?
That's him.
Okay, good. Because that takes up a lot of the book, too.
But the maps themselves, I don't.
I am dead about that. That should absolutely be something he did.
It's not. He's this not taking our old token.
This isn't what this is about. We love... I don't know about...
We love you, Tremors fans. All you Tremors fans.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know if I love George R. R. Martin. Oh. He's okay. He's whatever.
Hey.
And then they said, I'm so sorry if I can't remember your name, but just remember that I remember you. Like, if you show me your face, it'll be instant. I'll be like, oh, I remember talking to you. Oh, my God, I remember everything. Names. Thanks. Thanks to you. And, of course, I really want to go down and just list everybody that was there and just thank you to Michael Gross, thank you to Ron Underwood, Steve S.S. Wilson, Michelle Wilson, Lila Lee, Gladys Jimenez, Cher Stallings, Harry Miller, Sarah Botsford, Robert Jane, Don Michael Paul, Vanek Beat, I think it is Vanek Beat Miller, Elsa Gross. Really, she was a huge part of everything, whether she likes to admit it or not.
She's the one that keeps her gummer steady, and she's very important.
Oh, yeah. Thank you all for being there. We're going to get more people next year. You know who you are. I'll find you. I got your emails and your phone numbers. We're going to figure this out. Second annual is going to be even bigger than the first. Because it's Trevor's team. It's a sequel.
That's very, very on the nose.
Thank you to everybody that missed it, too. I know there's a lot of people that wanted to come that couldn't. Super appreciate it. Next year. I have to add some specialty thank you to both Daniel Trujillo, Zorga Vojic, Megan Gorman, and Paige Allen. All four of you guys, we spent a lot of time together, interacted a lot together. I love all of you guys so much. Thank you for everything you've done, will do, can do. You are the Trevor Saga, all of you. And I appreciate you so much. And Glenn, if you're listening, you're alright, man? I don't know.
Again, we need to break this. Like, I don't think we should talk about him at all. No. Cut that.
Whatever, bro. I'm going to take over the...
We've been listening to the Sunny, Always Sunny podcast, and they get to be a little too much, and then they start going, cut that, and I don't think they actually...
I'm not
going to
cut it, but
I don't think they cut anything.
We'll just not talk about that anymore.
Yeah, just fine. Let's just say thank you for putting it on. We appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you, Violet Crown, for hosting.
Yes. This is why you need me here doing this.
I appreciate you here doing this.
Why do you need me to temper you?
Anytime you just want to make this a dual-person podcast,
I am so tired. Like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh,
actually, okay. it's a great idea, but, like, I already have a full-time job. This could be a full-time job. I personally do that job. I don't have time for that.
Well, next episode with Caitlin is going to have her whenever we do in the Sound of Silence.
Yes, Lady Bird! It's my favorite episode of that
series. It's one of my favorites.
It doesn't have Michael Gross in it, but it has everybody else. Lady Bird, I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy my conversation because I have a lot to say.
She does. She really does.
Oh, and I'm really loud when I watch TV, so...
it'll be fun.
I just let you know, I'm very reactive, and... I've been married to Levi for quite a while, so...
Alright, as I said, I already thanked people. Everybody's great, awesome. I always let my guests sign off. You can find the word.
Continue always doing what you can with what you got. And be kind. Just be kind. Just be good people. I didn't want to steal it, but, like, it's they have it right. What's it from again?
Deadbeat.
That's how they sign off on all their stuff. And I really, really like it. Just be good people. Just be kind. Be good. It's not that hard.